last year this semester. It's very exciting. Well, yeah, it's the last year ever for Ned. And Josh, last year ever. You'll come back, you'll visit, it'll be great.
They're all white, right, you're fine.
That's right.
It's been 4 years. Did you tell him about that?
I didn't tell him, he probably knows.
What about your internship this summer?
What about it?
So what are you doing next year? It's an internship.
Fresh.
Sione, you were there for your cousin. You're not, are you graduating? Oh, you are graduating. All right. Sione's last year forever also. Wow.
Yeah.
That's very heavy. It's a lot of responsibility for this year. Well, Benji's last year ever. Wow.
We'll make it a good one.
Yeah, we'll make it a good one. We'll let you guys back. We'll get some get-togethers. We'll do some alumni barbecues in Lower Merion. Maybe Yoni will come this time. Okay, so last year I picked a bit of a special topic. That was the vote. So let's discuss Hefsik and Birchas HaTorah. Relates a little bit to Sugyan Yud Aleph from Abayz, and it leaves us with a good message for life for the summer. So yeah, the Gemara in Brachos Yud Aleph from Abayz, the Gemara talks about someone who's Hishkin Lashano, someone who wakes up early to study. And the Gemara tells us, Ad Shelo Kara Kriya Shema Tzarech Levarech, Misha Kara Kriya Shema Eino Tzarech Levarech, Shekvar Niftar Ba'ava Rabba. So that's the sugi that we know from our discussion of Kriya Shema and Talmud Torah, that Ava Rabba could pater your Birchas Torah. Okay? Now, Tosos on the spot on Daf Yud Aleph Mabez raises the following discussion based off the Yushalmi. The Yushalmi says that Ava Rabba could work as your Birchas Torah with what, if what condition is met? Hushashan Alatar. That you did some learning on the spot proximate to your Brach of Ava Rabba. Only then can it suffice as your Birchas Torah. That requirement of the Yushalmi pushed Tosvos to question what? The requirement of Hushashana Alatar. What issue did that raise in Tosvos? Josh, since it's your last year ever, what did that push Tosvos to ask?
Just having time
throughout
the day where you, go to sleep?
Or that you're engaged in things other than learning, which in halacha we would call a hefsek. That you're interrupting your Torah learning. Tosfos himself, based off the Yushalmi, is interested in this question, are you mafsek between your bracha and your Talmud Torah? That's like the question that we saw about the Ramban, the Amen between Ava Rabba and Yashma. But Tosos is also interested more generally in the question about Hefsik and Birchas Torah. So if you make a Birchas Torah in the morning, and then you're mafsik and you do something else, shouldn't you have to make a new Birchas Torah the next time you go to learn? Because that's true for every din of Hefsik in a mitzvah. It's a good question, right? So let's take a Tosos inside. Who wants to read? V'nishal harav Rabbi Yitzchak. What's the question? Who's going to read for us? Gavi, go for it. Where's Romy today?
Excellent
question.
I also wasn't here on Sunday. Yeah.
Let's see. Okay, go on, Gavi.
Shanu. Shanu Trudin, the Holchin Kach, the Lord Limud Ad Emsa Hayom, Oyote.
So what's the question? If we make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning and then you go on to do other things and then you come back to learn in the afternoon, what should you require? You should require a new Birchas HaTorah. So Tosos raises this question. Basically, what he wants to say is that maybe that's a question for the cases where you are satisfying your Birchas HaTorah through Ava Rabba. We're not going to get into that right now. But when you're Yotze Yibrich Satorah through Asher Bachar Banu and Lasa Pedibre Surah, what's the din? Aval, Birchas Asher Bachar Banu. Yeah, so those brachos exempt you from the entire day. So you only need one Birchas HaTorah for the entire day, according to the Sviya Tosos. That gets Tosos into a bit of a problem. Why, he asks, is Birchas HaTorah different on this score from the bracha of Leishe Basuka? So what does he say? Vim Tomar? Why not say the same thing? Make one bracha on Leishe Basuka in the morning and let that carry you for the whole day, just like Tom, just like Birchas HaTorah.
So,
yes, what's the claim here? That there's something special about Talmud Torah, Shiny Torah.
Your mind never leaves Torah.
It's actually not clear what that means. How do you translate that? His mind never despairs. His mind never gives up. Maybe his mind never fully turns away. Why? In what sense is your mind never fully turned away? Or what's the argument for it?
There's always some
chiv. And therefore, Havik kemo yoshev kol hayom b'lo hafsek. It's as if you're engaged in this action the whole day without any interruption. So when we did this the first time around, this is where we got to the temporal lover theory, right? That there's something special about Talmud Torah that allows us to view you as being osik in it for the entire day. Now, what I want to pursue in today's shiur is to what extent is that fiction? Or to what extent is this meant to be a factual assertion? Is Tosos claiming that a person's mind doesn't wander from their Torah studies at any point during the day? In what sense can it be said that he's kemo yoshev kol hayom b'lo hafsek? Ezra?
It's more about, I mean, I don't know if you mean the word right, because you guys use it a lot, I'm not showing you, but it might be more of a metaphysical...
What's the postulate? What's the claim?
The claim is just that, like, every Jew, like, Talmud Torah is the center of their life. So, like, it's always evil on their mind. You know, it's not actually always on their mind.
It is. It ought to be.
I mean, even if you're not actually thinking about it, it's always, like, your main focus and goal. And therefore, that's enough.
It is or it ought to be?
I says, it is.
It is. Every Jew.
Every Jew. It's like the song, like, the Rambam and the Alshev, like that.
And get them.
Yeah.
Deep down.
Deep down.
Deep down, the Torah is percolating in your neshama.
Yeah.
That doesn't seem
like
Tosos was saying. Tosos seems to focus on the chiyuv.
Right, Tosos does talk about the chiyuv. That's pretty interesting, right? The chol shah adam mechuyav lomod. Bahavik mayoshev break. He's not miyayish daito. That phrase of miyayish. I just want to point out that miyayish daito is a very interesting phrase. Miyayish daito implies that you never fully give up or like reject or move on from. I don't think it requires us to say that you're engaged in Talmud Torah at any level. What he's really trying to say is that you're not putting it down to do something else, right? You're not. So I don't think Tosas has to maintain that you're always thinking of a sugya all day, or that in the back of the mind there's some sugya that's percolating. You could say that, but I think the language of miyayish daito probably just implies that. You never intentionally like extinguish the Torah study interest.
It doesn't even be a current.
Correct. I don't think the claim is that there's some a current Talmud Torah going on in the mind at any at every moment, right?
It's just the field exists without any hafsek.
Well,
I think that's just the main point. It's the field is a constant field. It exists without any hafsek. So
it's a good point. It's a good point. He says more than that. He does say in a miyayish daito, which is, you know, which is a little more than just saying that the chiyuv is ongoing, right?
Well, that's because of the chiyuv, right? That the chiyuv sort of exists as this.
Right. I think it's because you have this ongoing chiyuv that you always want to return to it, right? You don't say, "Oh, I'm yotze lulav," so I'm putting down, I'm done with my lulav for the day. the thought is like, oh, you always have a chiyuv to go back to Torah study at some point, so you're never extinguishing the kind of get back to Torah study thought. Something along those lines, right? The only reason why I'm saying is because a lot of, you know, like the Rav and a lot of the Darshanim like to have this idea about, you know, Torah is always in the back of your mind. I don't think you have to say that to explain Tosos here.
That's not the moral lesson
that you want to do with them. No, that's not the moral lesson I want to do. I have a different mahalach I want to develop today. But a lot of people try to read that into Tosos. My own view is that there's very little textual support in Tosos to say that. Again, you could say Enam Yayish Daito. It might mean that, but it also might just mean that you, when you go and you move on to something else, you always have in mind that you want to come back to your Torah studies at some point because you have a chiv constantly of a gizwa yom belayla. You have a two-finger question, Ned?
Two-word
question.
Mordechai adds this line because
isn't that about gizwa yom belayla?
Yeah. So, but
the point there is... The Chol Shah, the Mechui of Lomod.
But the point is...
What is the Mordechai's language? Kind of like those, no? You just said velomid instead of bli hafsek.
But is he saying that it's as if you're actually...
As if you're learning.
What does that mean?
It's as if you're learning. I think the thought is that you're not, if you're not miyayish, then l'inyan the shiloh of hafsek. I don't even know if you're filling your chiyuv, but remember that to require a new brich some mitzvah, you need a hefsek. So the thought is, with respect to dine hefsek, you're still engaged in the ma'aseh mitzvah. Weez, that sounds good. J-Wiz, sounds good. All right. I had this big trip this summer.
Yeah,
working on it. Just got it. It's a good trip, no?
I haven't been to
Yosemite yet. It's a real chisaron.
What did you say about the
podcast?
It's a chisaron in your
Avos Hashem? There's a lot of... Yeah. Avos Hashem. It's a big problem.
Oh, somebody.
How are you, Lee? You're with Romy?
Where's Romy?
Good question. Eitan. Perek Bey's Hilchos Yesod Torah. B'shal she is bone in mice of Ruah v'Nefilayim.
Mishnah
Pirkei Avos. Mischai ben Afsho. So the Darshanim have a lot to say about the Mishnah and Avos. I'll give you my father's, which is probably the most drushy, and the one I don't love it. But he says, I don't know how he reads this Mishnah. He says, if you think that saying Ma Na Ilan Zeh has to be a hefsek in your Mishnaso, then you Mischai Ben Asha. What a heart. What?
It's a 360, 180.
Yeah, it's a...
maybe it's just one Elon.
What?
Maybe it's just one Elon that's
right.
But if there's tens of thousands of them.
I like that. No, I think the Pashup shot is actually that, yeah, you just like... You're in the, I'm very sympathetic to the fact that if you're working on something, it's bad to be distracted from the thing that you're working on. So if you're in the middle of trying to work out a sugya, and you're like, oh, look at the cherry blossoms outside, and then you lose track of the sugya, that's a bad thing. But it's perfectly fine to work out the sugya and then spend the afternoon being misbone and b'mayis of ruv on the fly.
Looking at the cherry blossoms.
You know, there's a lot to see. Okay, let's look at Tosfos Rosh's formulation of this issue. So let's read Tosfos Rosh. Who is reading? Gavi, you're reading? Go, Tosfos Rosh. I feel
like
Lomar. Mikol Makom. Benji, you reading it inside also?
I don't know.
Okay, Mikol Makom. Go ahead. No, Gavi, you read. Benji, I'm going to ask you a question in a second. You did a great job emphasizing my bold sections. Oh, that really messed up the flow of the Hebrew.
Oh, man, that's a lot.
That's it.
No, that is bold. That you're bold.
Mess up the syntax. So, what's the chiddush here of Tosfos Rosh compared to Tosfos Benji? How does he qualify the statement?
Meaning that the interruptions are necessary. They're actually like part and parcel of the lula. So it's not just like something else that doesn't fully distract you, but it's something that enables you.
That's quite a vort. Well, let's see. I think the chiddush here, Benji, is the first part. Mistap b'nei adam sheregilin tamid laso b'torah. If you're of the class of people that want to finish their jobs and their chores very quickly so that they could get back to Talmud Torah, then you could be Yotze with the same Birchsa Torah and there's no Hefzeh. Well, Mistaver, Dibine Adam Sherigilin Tamid Lasok Batorah. Vafilu Kishayotzim Leskem Memaros Memaran Laso Sarchem Kide Laksa Vazil Mod. Vitamid Daitam Alimudam. That people who meet that description, who are always rushing back, for them, Lo Chashiv Hefzeh Linan Bracha. But for the Hamonam, for the people who are not interested in getting back to learning, they just do a little in the morning, and then if they coincidentally end up learning something later, they would need a new Birchas Torah. Isn't that Pashup Shad in the Tosfos Rosh? Ned, you disagree? You agree? That depends. I take that to be the important point here.
Yeah.
Now notice also, when he talks about this class of people, he says, V'tamid daitam alimudam. That's one of the features of this class. That there's no hefsek in their Birchsa Torah for. What does Tamid Daitam Alimuda mean? So thinking about their learning is ambiguous.
Subconsciously thinking about it?
Could be. Is it thinking in learning or thinking about learning?
It's clearly speaking to the temporal level.
Well,
that's not
always. Okay, hold up on temporal level. Hold up.
Because you're rugged, that it's when, even when you stop, it's like it's still going.
One second. He just says lo chashiv hefsek. Well, he says lo chashiv hefsek. It's a hefsek shayla. But you know, tamid daitam alimudam. What does that mean? So Zev is saying it means they're always thinking in learning, right? Kind of like the Rambam Marnevuchim described about the avos. They're shepherding, but their mind is with a kaddish baruch hu.
You said they just had the right motivation.
Well.
I
said, well, we said, you know, one of the mahalchim that was discussed here. But the idea is that you're even when you're engaged in your business affairs, your mind is on Torah study. That's one way of reading it. If that's the case, it's obviously not a chiddush to say there's no hefzik, other than the fact that you might have said, well, if you're shepherding at the same time and it's just your mind, that's learning, that's hefzik. So that's one possibility, is that the Rush believes that if your mind is actually engaged in the intellect, currently engaged in Talmud Torah, that's not a hefzik. That's fine. Alternatively, he may mean that, kind of what Josh was suggesting, right? That you're always thinking about when you're getting back to your learning. But not necessarily that your mind is... And that's the din of Hesach Hadas, right? You weren't Mesiach Daito, kind of like Tosa's formulation, you're Miyayish Daito, from learning, in the sense that you always have in mind to go back and continue. So V'tamid Daitam Alimudam, not that they're always thinking about the Sugya, but their commitments, their Ratzon, is to return to their studies. I don't know if there's any way to adjudicate those two options from just the language of Tosa's Rush. Eitan?
I think the rush, like not Tosa's rush, the
same rush.
Same guy, different book.
Same guy, different book.
Yeah, I think it's more clear that it's the latter, that it's about returning to learning, not actually thinking about learning.
Okay, so let's take a look at a second.
Exactly.
What?
I don't remember the rush exactly.
I have it on the source sheet, so we'll look at it in a second. And let's just look at the rush's quotation of Rabbeinu Tam. So Rabbeinu Tam talks about Sukkah. And he says, Kol shekein misha daito tadir ali mudo im yata limlachto le'iskav lo hava hefsek. So again, it's not, what does that mean, daito tadir ali mudo? I guess it's the same ambiguity we had in the rush himself. Yeah?
Well, in a little less. Tadir was tadir.
But daito tadir ali mudo, does that mean that you're constantly learning or that your mind constantly always wants to be learning?
So
you're saying it means like it's you're chewing over the content of your learning. You're thinking over the sugya.
Occasionally comes back to you.
Yeah, could be. Could be that's what he means.
What's the nature of a hefsek?
What do you mean?
Like we're discussing right now, like whether it counts as a hefsek or if you have to always be thinking of it or you have to think about going back to returning to the thing. But knowing what a hefsek actually is
would be great, no?
Yeah.
Yeah, except that this sugya is one of the important things of being magdir what a hefsek is. So it sounds like, you know, I don't think we have an independent way of establishing what a hefsek is that's not dependent on how this sugya helps us define it, you know. Let's look at the Rush's formulation inside. So again, just the most important difference between the Rush's formulation and Tosis's formulation is?
Class,
exactly that. It sounds like the Rush would concede in his Tosvos that somebody who is not planning on getting back to their limud, or he's not of the class of people that is always rushing back to the limud, they would require a separate birchas Torah every time they engage in the Maisa limud. Right, Benji?
Yeah.
Ned? Yeah. Good. Same in the Rush, in the Hilchos Rush. So this is Aleph, Perek Aleph, Brachos, Perek, Seminit Gimel. Mikol Makom, Mistaver. Benji, you want to read this?
Sure.
Bitorah, the Ayin Vav Shesimin. It's not considered a hefsek if you're of those people who are regilin lasuk b'torah, maher and lasos tzorachayim, k'dei lachshav lomod, tamid daitam alim. Those three things, right? Those three criteria need to be met. That's fine. Forget about the lailash. Mention the lailash. That's very important. So what do you learn at night?
It's the classic Shavuos
Shabbat. Well,
meaning to get, like, during Shabbos, you want to get someone who slept a little bit to do.
Too far ahead of us.
Okay.
Lomi Belila. Let's say Shkia or Tseis comes around, and you want to have dinner, and you're going to learn a little after dinner. Do you need a new Birchas Torah because it's a new day?
Yeah.
What?
So apparently not.
Right, so Tosos, the Rush says no. We actually saw the Erchos Chaim earlier in the year, who seemed to imply that you do, and he said that the bracha of Avas Olam counts as your Birchas Torah of Laila. But put that aside for now. You're right. The Rush's point is that your Birchas Torah of the morning covers you into the night with one proviso.
If you fall asleep,
Kol Zman Shelo Yishen. And what does the Rush infer from here? Lachach, Misha Ragil.
Misha Ragil, Rosh HaMiyom, Shinat Keva, even means a term Hayo Hesek, it's already the Zorah of the Zulu.
If you take a nap during the day, you would require a new Birchas HaTorah. Because, great, all this stuff about, you know, while you're at work, you want to get back to your learning, blah, blah, blah. That's all really nice. That's enough to make it not a hefsek. Maybe, you know, yeah, you want to get back to your learning, you're thinking about something in the back of your mind. But if you take a nap, the rush actually wants to concede that you require a new Birchas HaTorah. So you can see the rush is actually pretty far away from Tosos. Number one, Tosos doesn't think that it depends on the class that you're in. Tosos seems to think, as a general rule,
there's no concept of a hesek.
Exactly. There's no concept of a hesek because you're mechuyev in Talmud Torah v'gisa yom b'layla. He kind of just postulates that generally people are not miyayish daito from Talmud Torah. The Rush thinks it depends on a much more contingent analysis, assessment of whether in fact you belong to this class of people that are rushing back to Limud, otherwise you would require a new Birchas HaTorah. And he says, if you take a Shenas Keva during the day, a serious nap would be a Hefsek in Talmud Torah, and you'd be Mechuyev in a new Birchas HaTorah.
What would we consider Shenas Keva?
Gezuntah. Exactly.
Why would that count?
Why would what count?
Why would the Shenas Keva count as if you intend on doing it and then going back to getting back to work?
Why wouldn't it?
Why is it kind of sexy?
Yes, good question. Right.
Well, it could be as soon as you're not, there's a second where you're not thinking about how you want to go back.
Maybe that.
We need to have a current thing. I'm going to go back.
So look, if you read the Rush the way Zev read the Rush, that Daito Tamid Ali Mudo means you're thinking and learning. So then I think when you're sleeping, you're not thinking and learning.
What if you're dreaming and learning?
You're dreaming and learning, you're not thinking and learning. So that's a hefsek. If you say, not like Zev, I think you can still say, look, Shana is a hefsek. If anything's a hefsek, Shana is a hefsek. No, you went unconscious for several, I don't know, for whatever, some amount of time. Right? What's a hefsek if not that?
There are a lot of ways to be unconscious.
What?
There are a lot of ways to be unconscious.
Are there?
Those adults also count.
Yeah, I'm working on a factor line, but this whole day is not exactly conscious.
Right. Brain dead. But everybody sees the Rush's point, at least, right? Like, number one, it's an empirical assessment of whether you actually are rotza lasso limudo. And number two, Shana would be a hefsek. Okay, let's look at the tour. Let's get a sense of his view. He's worried about hefsek also. He says, if you're mafsek, eino tzarech levarech kol hayom, imu rogil tamid lasok b'Torah. You know, probably most people are not makbid on this, if you think about it. Assuming we pass my tour, I assume most people come home at night, they learn a little, they don't make a new Birchas HaTorah. Even if they're obviously not from this class of people who are rogil tamid lasok b'Torah. Okay. So the Torah just codifies the Rush's view in Siman Mem Zayin. Mikey, you have a hand?
Is Lasek B'Torah necessarily the Limud Torah?
The bracha of Lasek B'Torah?
Or just the phrase in the Torah, or the Torah?
Ah, in the Rush or in the Torah?
I guess in either. Just any time it says Lasek Torah, that might... I think it's really saying that people are not fit. Because if you're not someone that's
regular
Torah, you don't think
of
Rafa, but what if
Lasek B'Torah
is just like your motive of living is
engaging?
Like
observant. Yeah. Guys, like Mikey's suggestion?
It's like Torah Meso.
What?
It's like Torah Meso.
Well, Torah Meso is more like you're always kind of focused on your, like, Rishon Bar Yochai. Like, you're always.
Like from Baba Batra. Like when the rush was saying,
the priority, like you're kind of. But I think Mikey's saying something a little softer, right?
I guess everything you mean.
I thought Mikey meant like observant.
Maybe a little bit more like.
Were you moving away from Talmud Torah or?
It's not exactly Talmud Torah, but it's more like if I'm a doctor, I'm doing it because I'm
fulfilling
what.
Kol ma'asecha l'shem shemayim type thing.
Not
cold, right, lasso. Wow, what do you think of Mikey's suggestion? Ned made a face.
I don't think it's a shot, but
it may not be a shot on the tour, but I want us to think about that for a second. Just guys, so just file away Mikey's comment. Very good comment. I think in this context, it probably means lasso patura, literally to engage in tama Torah. The tour is probably just codifying the rush. Rush says lasso patura.
Just related to that, I've had a professor before who thought that maybe Gisa Balayom Galila wasn't referring to Talmud Torah, but more of just, I guess, thinking about Torah and that everything according to it.
What's, what?
That I've just heard it, I don't think this is mainstream, but I've heard an opinion that maybe Gisa Balayom Galila is not about Talmud Torah, but it's about, I guess, like Torah awareness. And that might go against Chazal, I'm not sure. But
who said that?
I can tell you after.
Ooh, it's a secret. Great, yeah, let's chat after. Or we could bring it up at the end of the year, because it might be related to the next comment later on.
Like, just in case I'm not accurate, I don't know if I'm accurate understanding what you said. I don't want to say anything.
That's fair. Maybe he didn't even have an accurate understanding of what he said.
Wow.
Wouldn't be so uncommon. Okay, so if you look at the language of the Rush in the Tosafot that I'm highlighting right now, he says Mistavre Divnei Adam Shiragilin Tamid Laso Petora, which Mikey is that same phrase. Dafilu Kishiyotzon Leskem Memarin Laso Tzurchem Kedei Lachzor VeLilmod VeTamid Daitem Alimudam. There, it does sound like he means that in the Limud sense, right? In context, and the Torah is just codifying the Rush. Okay, look at the Torah quotes in the name of the Rush about Hefsek Shena. Who's reading?
You.
I wasn't reading. No? Okay, so Ned, why don't you read? V'im Yoshen, if you go to sleep. Good. But if Rugulus nam name. Yeah, or non-base nap, as long as you saw Tzile Yadav. Who asked? What distinguishes Shenas Kava from Shenas Arai? Yeah, so the tour gives you an answer from the Rush, right?
Yes.
The standard seems to be, if you fall asleep in bed, that's a Shenas Kava. If you fall asleep on your hands, that's a Shenas Arai.
What about couch?
Oh, very good.
What about a
well,
I mean a kafa.
Right. These are you guys can write the kuntras. You can write a whole sefer on. Al inyan ashela mefursam im nisnam name al.
What about a hammock under the cherry blossoms?
Right, there you go. Right. A whole pilpul. Okay. Excellent. There is a Girsa in Tosos, by the way, that seems to disagree with this. So if you go back to Tosos in the beginning, V'hoi Omer Rabbeinu Tam, Kisha Adam Omed Mimi Taso, B'Shachris or B'Laila. It's not so clear. Two Girsos here. You guys see this?
Yeah. It must be B'Laila.
So, but Omed Mimi Taso B'Laila. Let's say you wake up in the middle of the night, let's say. She'eno Tzarech L'Varech B'Rech Zatar, M'Lish B'Rech Zatar, Shel Esmol Shachris Poteres Ad Shachris Acheres. Avaloni Hira. So it seems like 2 days in Tosvos, whether a Shenas Keva is a Hefsek. Rabbi Natan wants to say that Shenas Keva is not a Hefsek. So you have to have something to say. What's that about? Okay? Right? The more you... I'll more to say in a second. Let's look at a summary of this issue in the Hagos Maimonios. So here's the Hagos Maimonios in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Tefillah, Ve'od Kasav. She's quoting Rabbeinu Simcha, I believe. Go ahead. Oh. So sleep, that we already saw on the tour. What else is considered a hefsek in Birchas Torah? Yeah, the bathhouse. So like showering and Pesachisei going to the bathroom. V'tzarech levarech achar kol achas mehen. So look, going to the bathroom is a hesach hadas because you can't be mekayim talmud Torah in the Pesachisei. Now again, It's an interesting question here. If my reading of Tosos Harash is correct, that Daito Ali Mudo means that you want to get back to your learning, it's not so clear why Beisak Kisei has to be a Hefsek.
Yeah,
unless you just say that because the Makom it's Usur and Divrei Torah, so it's just all Pidin a Hefsek. If you take Zev's definition of Daito Ali Mudo, that you're supposed to, it's only not a Hefsek because you're still thinking about your learning, then it's much more plausible that a Beisak Kisei will be a Hefsek. Right? By the way, the view of Rabbeinu Simcha here is that both Beis HaMerchatz and Beis HaKisei is a hefsek, and therefore you're mechuyev in Birchas HaTorah every time you come out of the bathroom.
You know, the halacha would be formulated in addressing the ideal of not thinking about Torah.
Say it again?
The halacha is that you would, if you say it's a hefsek because he wants to set it up in line with the ideal halacha where
so in that case,
the law is not fitting what people are thinking about. It's prescribing what people are thinking.
Right, and therefore?
That's why I just explained why it can be hefsek.
So why is it hefsek?
Because any human individual might still think that they're
tzara,
but halacha is not negative.
Correct, the halacha is that you're not allowed to. So the halachic blackout is what creates the hefsek.
If the person did.
So interesting shaila, if they were over and they thought and learning in the bathroom, would they be mechuyev in a new Birchas HaTorah? That's the question, right?
Yeah.
You might say, al pi din, there's the hefsek because it was a place that was aser b'hirur, Divrei Torah. Or you might say, no, it depends on not the de jure assessment, but the de facto assessment about whether in fact he was thinking about Divrei Torah, right? The way it sounds from Bina Simcha, it sounds like it's de jure or de facto.
De jure.
De jure. Or de jure, as some people like
it's
to
like
say.
Like
what?
It's like a put on in the learning.
You're saying the learning's not a good learning.
Yeah, the learning is.
Well, I don't think you could just say simpler that it's a malkum that's usur, so I'll pijin, we view it as a hasid. No, that's you want to say, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if you look at
do you know anybody who's makbun on this to make a new Birchas HaTorah if they go to the bathroom? Sometimes you walk through Gluck and people make an Asher Yatzar that's so long. It's only explicable if they're making Asher Yatzar plus 3 Birchas HaTorah.
Yeah.
You know, they're coming out of the bathroom.
Did washing your hands with one of those cups after a real thing, but like doing the Israeli
time? It's a good question. It's a good question. It's definitely better for germs.
Worse for germs.
Better for spreading germs.
Right.
Okay, so this is the view of the view of the Hagos Naimonia. It's a great shita, no? You should ask your friends if they're makvid for this. Same also for Shena. How does he explain Shena? Ashena, she yev shalomod. Shasur enough to be heard the right Torah. Notice, I think that the interesting thing here is there are two different rationales, two different bases for hefsek. You could have the aser behir de right Torah basis for hefsek, and you could have yev shalomod shu yoshen. One's to borrow Ned's language, and one is prescriptive, and one is descriptive. Right? Notice here that the Hagos Haimonios is of the view that you can't be learning while you're sleeping. So, I think he endorses my view that dreaming about learning is not thinking and learning. Josh?
We don't even have to say that it's like prescriptive. I mean, if you read Tosfos as saying that the thing that keeps you connected is just the chiyuv per se, that it's just the fact that the chiyuv's not there.
Does the chiyuv go away, or is it just also for you to be mekayim
your
chiyuv?
Yeah, it does go away.
Oh, interesting shaila.
Well,
maybe it must go away if it's also. It's a very interesting question. In the metaphysics of halacha, in the metaphysics of halacha, does an iser defeat the chiyuv? Or do you say, no, the chiyuv's there? Nafkamina for this issue of Tosos, if the din of Hefsek depends on the Chiyuv, is the Chiyuv there when it's also be Divrei Torah? Is there a Chiyuv Talmud Torah on Tisha B'Av morning? Same type of Shiloh, right?
Well, that might be different.
Alright, is there a Chiyuv Talmud Torah on the Beis HaKisei and the Beis HaMerchatz?
On Etzema.
What? What? Maybe it's related, they tell the story with the Rugged Shavar and somebody else about whether he, you know, I think this is probably a apocryphal story. Whether he thought in learning in the bathroom, and then he's like, "Ah, yeah, I can't help myself, you know." But thinking learning in the bathroom, it's like Yisro Yom Valayla. And like whoever his interlocutor was, like, no, it's if it's author Behir Devei Torah, why would he even have this cheshek to... maybe it depends on this intuition about whether you think there's a chiyuv b'makom that there's an isser.
Just the Rebbe Lieb was just put out from the desk shir about saying Shiras Omer in the bathroom. Like someone forgot to say with the bracha the night before, and you remember it. And
surely, almost as important a question about our hammock sofa, Shanas Keva.
Shkia was running. It was getting close to Shkia, and he was in the bathroom, and he wanted to know if he could just say Hayom Yom in the bathroom.
And knew what was the psak.
I think it was. I don't remember.
There's the Rabbi Chassid. I think says Midas Chassidus is not to say Lashon HaKodesh and Pesach Kiseh.
Today is.
Today is 14 days, which is 2 weeks.
Is Mimash going to the bathroom, or is it just in the bathroom area? Because like,
I think he was on the basic kiseh.
It's a shadow whether our basic kiseh has a status of basic kiseh with indoor plumbing, right? It's kind of and our basic kiseh are probably nicer than their kitchens. No, I'm saying, but the point that usually there's no like actual tsoa like in the bathroom.
Except for
Go
to the room doors.
It's terrible. All right.
Not so bad.
Okay, on the Moria Rav Kosaf. So now that goes, Simonios quotes the other view. Go ahead. To make a long story short, you have a very sharp tension here between these different views about what constitutes hafzik. One way of thinking about this machlokas is to say it's a practical disagreement just about intuitions about what's considered to be osik in learning, what's considered to be thinking and learning, what's considered to be wanting to go back to your learning. That's like one possibility. And then it all depends on that type of contingent assessment of what counts as a continuous mental conscious / subconscious interest in Talmud Torah, such as it's not a hafzik. Another way of thinking about it is maybe the machlokes is about whether you think the Birchas HaTorah is chal on the yom, or whether the Birchas HaTorah is chal on the Maaseh Limud. You might say that the Birchas HaTorah is chal on the yom, so I'm making Birchas HaTorah in the morning for the day. Maybe that's Pshat and Rabbeinu Tam. So even if you're mafsik, for whatever reason, the Birchas HaTorah is not a bracha on the Maaseh Limud. It's a bracha on the yom. And then once you make a bracha on the yom, the bracha carries you for the whole day. This relates a little bit to the temporal lavud discussion about why Shema would be the ideal way of setting up the temporal lavud, and Shema itself is connected to the Yotzer HaMa'oros. That discussion we did earlier in the year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What's not? Talmud Torah? For now, let's assume that it is a Birchas HaMitzvah. The only issue is whether it's a Birchas HaMitzvah that's misukan, that's established through making it through the structure, through the Seder HaYom. So that's why the bracha is chal on the Yom, not on a local Maaseh Limud. If you say it's chal on the Yom, then Hafzik maybe doesn't even matter. So Rabbeinu Tam could say, I don't care if you learned in the morning and then took a Shavua Doraisa that you're never going to learn again that day and then changed your mind in the afternoon. You made a bracha for that yom. So the bracha covers you, even if you had the greatest hefsek in the world. Whereas the Rush, Udi Ime, seem to be learning, no, it depends on actual hefsek, etc. Good?
Josh? So when it becomes nighttime, you say you have to make a new Birkat
Torah. So it's an interesting question. He might say that for this purpose, because B'shach B'chav Kumecha, maybe you want to start it with your bracha of the yom and then let it carry into the laila.
Oh, is it not a halakhic day, but since it is...
That's what Rabbeinu Tam implies in that, in the way he's quoted in Tosfos the Rush. It is, I think, to defend your view, Dovi is... Dovi, right?
Yeah.
We got rid of David?
It's gone.
It's gone. So to defend Dovi's view, say something like the Orchos Chaim said, which is you have a bracha on one Birch HaTorah in the morning and one Birch HaTorah in the evening. That seemed to be the Orchos Chaim's view. So every 12-hour period requires a Birch HaTorah, which is just a way of saying Yom, but really a unit, a Shema unit. Josh, you had a hand?
Does it matter at all that, like, in some sense, you fulfill your chiyuv with one pasuk? Like, is it obvious that the rest, even if you're getting a mitzvah from the Torah, that you even require even a bracha?
A bracha? Okay. It does seem like you're saying as long as you make your bracha on your bagiso yom v'layla, that should be sufficient.
Right, because that's your real chiyuv. But I mean, there is some sort of other chiyuv. I don't know.
This language of Tosos, you're right, seems to be in tension with Ibai Pater Nafshe Kriyash Mashachos Varvis, because you're Mechuyib Kolayom.
Right.
You're basically saying you're not Mechuyib Kolayom.
Kind of
Good point. Okay, everybody ready now? We're going to transition and I'm going to develop the Baal Mahalach. Now, the Baal Mahalach is going to come out of something so anticlimactic that itself will be anticlimactic. Okay? So the Baal Mahalach that I want to develop emerges from the Sefer Agur. Sefer Agur is late Ashkenaz, late Tekufa the Rishonim. And he says something that's just so simple and not exciting, but we can derive something very exciting from it, very mundane. Yoni, you want to read it? That we already saw in Nagos Maimonides, right?
Yeah.
That Shena Merachas Besakise is a hefsek, and you're mechuyev to make a new Birch HaTorah afterwards. Yes? Okay. Umaharach Kasav.
Umaharach Kasav, the Achar Tzarke Dolin.
He's talking about going to the bathroom.
Yeah. Ain't
sorry, Lavarat Birchas
HaTorah, ki
ain't a Messiah Daito. Ain't a Messiah Daito.
What does
that mean? Ain't a Messiah Daito.
Yeah.
So there are Gemaras that talk about these kind of, what do you want to call them? Dinim, Nihugim. About how a person should clean themselves up in the bathroom. Well, it's very anticlimactic. Shita, from which to derive very important. But Yesh Lachor here, what is the Sefer Agur saying?
It's not a walking man.
So what does he mean?
So
Yesh Lachor, he's saying something very profound. He's saying something very profound over here at the Sefer Agur. The non-profound way of reading him is to say that because there are dinim that apply in the Beit Hakiseh, like Giloy Tefach and Ketzad Yikaneach, so you got to think about those dinim, and in Mela, you're thinking about Divrei Torah in the Beit Hakiseh, which is kind of just seems to be like a necessary violation of the Asur Lahar Harba Divrei Torah in the Beit Hakiseh, something like that. So there's at least Ritzifus in your Daito Betalmudo. Is that what you were saying, Ned?
Yeah.
Is that how you learned it?
Yeah.
So I learned it a little differently. What's another way to learn it? Eitan, is that a hand?
Yeah.
Yeah, where's Hubbard Sir Richard?
That's a great question.
Okay. He's with Romy. Okay. I hope Romy listens to the recording. So many shout outs.
It's last year.
This is last plus one. Last plus two, right? Well,
can't have my prayer last year.
Right, that's true. Are you done?
The person keeping the halakha is like the same thing as the
if she's going. Ooh. So you're getting a little closer to what I want to say. So you're saying. One second. So, I like what Eitan's saying. You're saying that what?
The mice is a continuation of the
creation. That's a little too close to what Ned is saying. I want to say a little bit like you're saying, but Mikey Lishitoso.
I mean, it's similar to what I mentioned before, but could it be that it's still not so related to Talmud Torah, but it's close enough that the bracha covers it.
What's close? What's the what's what is it that's giving you the continuity in your bracha Torah?
Being also the Torah.
Meaning, in the sense that you said before,
that your mind is always on it.
Okay, but in a way, it's, but the point here is that it's not a mice of Talmud Torah, I want to say. It's compliance with the Dine Torah. So, Ba'ach, notice the tiyuk in the language of the Yagur. Is that what you can say, Josh?
I mean,
so, look at the language. Ki ach bizman shehu nifne, sarech lihi zaher bedinim kimo begiloi tefach against the kanech. He's not saying, oh, and because these dinim apply, what a nice excuse to think in Divrei Torah. Like I sat on a dentura with a Diane from Muncie, and he's like, "Oh, what a good dentura! You know, we got a good sugya out of it. You know, so it's like the valuable thing was like getting the sugya out of it. So it's not like, oh, you're in the bathroom and now you get a sugya out of could you make a birchas omer there, and you know, now you could think about a pilpul of dine kinuach and dine megalotefa." Right? No, the pshat is that there are dinim that apply, and with respect to the bracha, birchas haTorah, what gives you continuity, or at least lack of hefsek, is the fact that you have a duty to comply with the dinei Torah, and you're complying with dinei Torah in that context. It's very medir, no? And what the nice thing about that is that you're not violating initial harher b'divrei Torah b'chlal, because I want to say there's no hir hor b'divrei Torah associated with these dinim. It's just being mizahir in these dinim. Maybe even in a zombie act, like Ned would say. Does everybody hear the suggestion? So I want to say an unbelievable chiddush based off this really unbelievable... unbelievable chiddush based off this truly believable Sefer Agur, which is that the din, and exactly what Mikey intuited earlier, right about Lasso, that the thing that gives the hemshechius to the Birchas HaTorah, Ezra, is not necessarily a maisa limud, but it's the ongoing compliance with Dine Torah throughout the day that stands even independent of the maisa limud. Yoni?
So how do you then have a hefsek by doing like a Kaveira or something?
What would cost you to hefsek?
Yeah.
When it's sleeping also, because you're not filling any sort of halachic.
You're
not allowed to
speak
Latin. Mizrach Tamara, is your bed facing Mizrach Tamara? Oh yes, I think that's I have in the Makor sheet. Yes, of the bracha.
Yes,
yes. Let me just substantiate this for a second. Look here at the debate about the Nuscha bracha. So bottom of page 4, top of page 5. So I take this mahalach to be the exact opposite of the darshanim's mahalach that, oh, a person's always like thinking of divrei Torah in the back of their mind, so there's never a hefsek. Because that's trying to create continuity through the cognitive process of Talmud Torah, but just trying to shoehorn in subconscious or non-occurrent forms of Talmud Torah into cognitive Talmud Torah, right? I think this Mahalach is saying the continuity arises not from like Talmud Torah in the Beis Medrash sense, but from the compliance with Dine Torah throughout the day. Now, I think a nice support for this idea is the debates, one side of the debate about what the proper Nusach should be for the Birchas HaTorah. So, Beis Yosef and Tzvi Mem Zayin quotes the different views in the Rishonim. One nusach is Asher Kedushan Tosafot Tzivanu Al Divrei Torah. And I don't think anybody here has that nusach. You do? You say Al Divrei Torah in the morning? Wow. Is that the Minik Chabad?
Yeah.
Is it just Chabad?
Svaradim also, I
think. Svaradim also? Any Svaradim? Maybe I want to ask outside if there are any Svaradim. Ask them a nusach bracha they make. Ask Yoni, what nusach bracha does your wife make?
Intermarried?
Yeah. Alright. What is that? He asked if you're
intermarried.
I'm intermarried,
yeah.
Good for you. Very open-minded.
Time is not so open-minded.
Ah, only someone who's not open-minded would kind of think that that's revolutionary.
Since you're all criticizing me, I've been open-minded too.
Yeah, Connie. Right.
At one point.
In the past.
In the past. Beyond so far past.
Connie's so open-minded, he's even willing to date girls from Scarsdale. Right? It's like, as long as they're not too far from New Rochelle. Okay, the Rush has a different view. He says the Nusach HaBracha is Lasok B'Divrei Torah. Now, what's at issue in this debate over the Nusach HaBracha? The Beis Yosef Kostav Udram. Let's see, who's going to... Who wants to read this Avodram? Tani, you got it. Chasav Rav David Avodram. Wonderful Avodram. Oh, we should all follow Eitan. Now, intuitions could disagree about which Nusach represents what. But at least the way that Avodram sees it is that the Nusach of Al Divrei Torah is not just about the Maisa of Talmud Torah. It's like a bracha on Torah. Torah itself is ambiguous between Esek Halimud Vasiya Samaisa. That's the claim. Lefishu Kolel Esek Halimud Vasiya Samitzvos.
Vechein Kasav Evan Hayarechi Kloma.
That's the Sefer HaManig. Yeah, so Mike, this is kind of a little the opposite of your diak about Lasok, but I think one could probably say the same thing for Lasok. But you could see the point here that the Rishonim are saying is that it's a virtue of the Birchas HaTorah, at least according to the Avodram and the Manig, that it's a bracha not just on Esek Halimud, but also on Asiyas HaMitzvos. Now that's a funny thing. Why should you have your Birchas HaTorah include Asiyas HaMitzvos together with Maisa Limud? Wouldn't it be better to have each mitzvah have its own tailor-made specific bracha? That's the Beis Yosef's point, right? Vili Nira, so read the Beis Yosef. Go ahead, Tanya, you're reading. Vili Nira. It's very good use of the Adrava, right? Adrava, Mahitama, for exactly that reason, says the Beis Yosef. Beis Yosef is saying Pum Fakir. Better to make a bracha that's specified for Talmud Torah. When you do the mitzvahs later on, you make a bracha on the mitzvahs. Why would you want to bundle up and conflate the bracha on Talmud Torah with the bracha on Asiyas HaMitzvahs?
Isn't that what we do when we say that if somebody gets an aliyah and they say a bracha, and then if you were to find out that the Torah is pasul, to say that the bracha that they made at the beginning of their aliyah wasn't a bracha of the Talmud, because they made a bracha on all of Torah, not that specific Torah?
What are you talking about?
Never heard such a thing.
Sounds,
because we're saying here, right?
Yeah, that sounds like it could be good.
I thought the point is that at that moment it was considered.
Right. Probably just takan on the Kriyas HaTorah. Turns out it's not a. There's nothing a brach on a Sefer Torah Kshira. Now, does anybody see the dialectic between the two views in the Beis Yosef? So I want to say, actually, I like the Avodram suggestion. I don't know if the Avodram's right that Al Divrei Torah captures Asiyas HaMitzvah together with Limud, or whether maybe Lasok B'Torah, Lasok B'Divrei Torah. Lasok, I think, is also ambiguous, right? What does it mean to engage in Divrei Torah? That could be through Limud. It could be through...
You,
what? No, just Barakat HaShem Shekhar Sivanu Lasak with Divrei Torah. High Rav Noah is a separate... Let's assume High Rav Noah is separate or an addendum. So I very much like the idea that the Birchas HaTorah against the Beis Yosef is Dafka combined, and that's what these Rishonim are saying, with the Bracha on Asiyas HaMitzvos. Like, we actually don't view them as two separate... like two distinct types of enterprises. Are we with me?
Is it a bracha on all the mitzvot, or just a bracha on the mitzvot that require your kind of mitzvot?
I think it's a bracha on, like, Torah. The idea is, like, Torah itself has two dimensions. One is that it's supposed to be the object of our intellectual contemplation. The other is that it's supposed to be normative, like prescriptive, in that it guides the type of conduct that we engage in. And the idea is that it's a fallacy to believe that the Birchas HaTorah we make in the morning is a Birchas HaTorah on the cognitive enterprise exclusively. The idea of Al Divrei Torah, or Lasuk Divrei Torah, is that it's supposed to be a bracha on both dimensions of Torah as both the object of contemplation and the thing that guides our conduct.
So if,
now I want to say a chiddush based off that. I mean, the chiddush I want to say in light of the Agur is that the action guiding aspect of Torah, being in compliance with its prescriptions throughout the day, is just as much a kiyum in the concept of Torah, Talmud Torah, as is the Maisa Limud itself. Everybody see that?
So if I make a Birkat Torah, and then I respect my parents, would that be fulfilling the Maisa of Birkat Torah?
Yes, I think so.
Interesting.
Well? Well?
That can, like, relate to that machlokas about whether or not
you
need to learn right after you make the bracha.
Yes, yeah, so the standard view is that the din, whether you need B'hush Hashana al Atar. Remember, Tosfos views you don't need B'hush Hashana al Atar. Why? Because you're mechuyev in Torah all day. Like, all, the idea that these dinim apply, and they, but you might say, according to you, but yeah, even if you require some maisa right away, maybe a maisa of a mitzvah would suffice to ground the Birchas HaTorah on the spot. Right? Yoni?
Back to my question.
Wait, did you see how this explains the Augur? Because the Sefer Augur's point is that since there are dinim that apply Beves HaMerchatz and Beves HaKise, those dinim make it the case that there's no hefsik in the Birchas HaTorah. Because even though it's Asur Behirhor Belima Divrei Torah,
it's not Asur to follow the Torah.
Of course. And that's the whole point. Not only is it not Asur, you're Mechuyev, Kamadinim, or Shayach there. And so you're considered to be osik b'divrei Torah even in those moments, such that there's no hefsek. Isn't that an unbelievable chiddush derived from such an unbelievable sefer agur? Or do you guys think it's an unbelievable sefer agur? It's pretty unremarkable. Well,
maybe it's an unbelievable sefer.
Maybe it's an unbelievable sefer agur.
It's pretty unbelievable sefer agur.
Right. Yeah, Yoni, you have a hand on this.
Yeah, so under this, like, there would just never be a hefsek in between Divrei Torah, or if you that it's like you go steal something, then you have to say Divrei Torah after because you're not conducting.
Right, somebody asked, is Navera hefsek on this?
That
oh, that was your question, yeah. Right? So you're asking the same type of same. It's an interesting question. So, like, just like the Rush wanted to say, well, someone who doesn't learn, you know, they're. So let's say you're right. So let's say you made a Birchas HaTorah in the morning and you're off from in the morning and then you had an existential crisis in the afternoon. You're like, I'm done with this. No more Judaism. And you eat nevelos and trefos and violate all the Surim Shabbat Torah.
Or if you're just in the bathroom,
and then by the time the mid-afternoon comes, by plag, you're like, oh, what a great religion, Orthodox Judaism. So you have a shilat, you have to make a Birchas HaTorah.
Or if you just go to the bathroom and you don't follow the
din. Right.
Because that's the only way that you're consistent
right.
with the Divrei Torah.
Right. So I think it's interesting. I think it's an open question whether I see the main move of the Agur is just expanding it from cognitive Talmud Torah to cognitive Talmud Torah, including to plus compliance with the dinim. But within that, you could raise a Chakira. Is he like the Rush that he requires actual compliance? Like de facto compliance? Or is it the point that just like, or is he hold like Tosfos, that the fact that there's a chiyuv of dinim and that you're bound to, that's enough to make it continue? That's an open question.
Yeah.
My impression is that, I don't know, actually, I don't know which way he goes. Okay? So far, everyone's so good? Everyone good with that? Everyone, Ned, you like the mahalach? Well?
Solid.
Okay, I want to say something a little... let me give another nafkamina to this question. So we'll solve another little issue in Hilchos Pirkei Avos Torah. So the Beis Yosef in Siman Mem Zayin quotes a suffix whether a woman should make a Birkei Torah. Should a woman make a Birkei Torah? So you see here the Beis Yosef quotes the Agur citing the Mariel. And even though kol melamed bita Torah kidlam lamed tiflos, a woman should still make a birchas Torah. Why should they do that? Leave. Why should women make a birchas Torah?
They make birchas mitzvah or something.
Okay. Other stuff that they're mechuyevin though. Do they make a birchas mitzvah for stuff and not mechuyevin?
They could.
That's
like a
second. Yes, hold the end. So basically, yeah, Eitan.
It's just interesting that the basis of here is that the stuff is lasso.
Well.
Basically,
the one about
a woman making a bracha, he says lasso specifically. That's the Musa. That's one of his objections. Was that
it's
lasso, which
talking about Tishvah,
and that one's
only
on the
Tiflis.
But saying that's only coming because
lasso.
Oh, okay, so that's what I want to say. He just takes for granted that's lasso, even though in the Basil previously, he said the
minimum
posture is to
is Aldi Ritora. Good, so hold that thought for a second. The Beis Yosef here says that women should make a bracha. One of the reasons that he gives is he cites this smag. I think it's actually the smag. Maybe it's also smag. He quotes the smag that Nashamar Chayavos Lilmod Hadinim Hashayachim Lahem. Now you could say he just means that that's it's Talmud Torah, La Suya Shema Yisali B'dehilchasa. Well, right, the Ramah Paskins that. In Hilchos Talmud Torah. Ramah Paskins that in Hilchos Talmud Torah. But the point, you might say, something a little weaker than what the Beis Yosef is suggesting here in the name of the Mariel. You might say that since they are mitzuvos in compliance with the dinim, that itself is a reason to make a Birchas HaTorah in the morning.
Well, maybe you need both.
I actually think that both is one and the same. Because what I'm going to say in a second is I actually don't think there's much of a difference. Like, the whole idea... What I really want to say is actually that mitzvos are...
Lane, are you listening to this?
What? I'm scared. What's the trap? That mitzvos are either occasions for low grade encounters with Talmud Torah.
Basically,
is that what you say?
It's a kiyum in Talmud Torah.
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't want to instrumentalize it in like, oh, now that I'm shaking lulav, it's an opportunity to clara chakira about, you know, the lulav. The point is that mitzvos, in addition to just regulating what you can and cannot do, they're occasions for encountering the divine commands, the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to try to understand it and to engage with it at some low grade level. Like, isn't that like? That is what mitzvos are on some level. So what I want to say, actually, this idea about learning the dinim hashayachim lahem and kind of being engaged in the performance of dinim are two very like interrelated things. So let me give you an example. Like I think, yeah, but Josh, you could.
Wasn't that the first version of the Sefer Agur that we got rid of for the second version?
No, the first version of the Sefer Agur is instrumentalizes it. Where it's like saying the Dine of Kinuach triggers you to think about it, and so it triggers like an occasion for thinking about Talmud Torah. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But the other side...
Right.
What I'm trying to say now is that living your day or structuring your day or your week or your year in compliance with Dine Torah forces some sort of low-grade encounter with Divrei Torah. What's the difference between the two? I think one I'm thinking of as that, I have to count Omer. Here's an interesting Shaila. You know, is Omer, you know, Mutter in the Beis HaKisei, not Beis HaKisei, is a Moshkia, and then you kind
of...
You
so there's different bases of content of the Talmud Torah that you're...
I think so, right. Like, one, I think, just automatically pulls you to more, like, classic occasions for, like, Beis Medrash type people. And the other one's saying, like, no, that there's obviously some level of cognitive engagement with what you ought to be doing, what you ought not be doing, pulling your mind away from, you know, mundane things to more divine things. Like, that itself is a low-grade form of Talmud Torah.
And vice versa is also true, right?
Like, it's like when you shake lulav, even if you're not, you don't have any chakira in mind about lulav, there's some, I think, cognitive engagement with the divine commands, whether it's just the concept of tzivoy, or like whatever the basic things you know about the tzivoy of lulav, right? That actually enrich your religious life in a manner that's Talmud Torah, that is Talmud Torah.
Well, it's a great argument for why we should do
Torah.
It's a great argument for why we should study Torah.
That. Wait, you're saying that the Maisa Mitzvah is more substantive. What are you saying?
I'm saying in the absence of the Talmud Torah, I think that it's important to have this kind of intellectual...
Of course, that's what mitzvahs are. That's exactly what mitzvahs are. I mean, to think that mitzvahs are just like a series of... Right, like to think that a Tesla could be Mekayim mitzvahs by the autopilot being programmed the right way... I think is weird, right? You think part of the key in mitzvos is the determining of the will based off... it's the determining... But we all know people like that. You know people who are basically just like autopilots, perfect, like very good at performance of the mitzvos, but there's kind of very deficient engagement with the content of the mitzvos, the concept of the mitzvos. Let me try to reinforce... Let me try to reinforce it a little further, but the underlying idea is that that's why the bracha of Lasok b'divrei Torah al divrei Torah is actually designed to encapsulate both of these elements. So let me try to motivate that a little further. But in the interim, my point here in just Siman Mem Zayin is that this idea that women should make a birchas Torah, maybe they're not mitzvah in the pure Talmud Torah side of things, like the Beis Yosef is saying. But if you're mitzvah and dinim, if you have a chiyuv to do certain mitzvos, that itself implicates what the smag is saying, a chiyuv to engage with the dinim. Lomod ha-dinim ha-sheyachim lahem.
But didn't the Beis Yosef disagree with that with Rebbe Agar? Didn't he have this kind of
Here he's just quoting somebody. Is the Beis Yosef quoting the Agar B'Shem the Maril. So if you're troubled by the consistency in the Beis Yosef, so one's the Maril, one's the Beis Yosef.
Oh, the previous one wasn't. I thought the Beis Yosef was making the argument against Rebbe Agar.
Right, but the Rabbi John. But what I'm highlighting right now is not really the Beis Yosef. He's just quoting the Maharil as saying it.
Okay.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry about the same person consistency, okay. Shita. Yeah,
gotcha.
Good point. Correct. What I'm saying is against... I'm giving an approach that's like directly against what the Beis Yosef... Why the Beis Yosef thinks it's a virtue to make a bracha just on Torah, not mitzvos. My view goes much better with the Rabbi John.
Yeah.
That lechatchila we want to make the brachas of Torah for both of them. Okay. Here's a sugya that I think ties in very nicely. Here's one of my, I think this is my favorite Meiri, my all time favorite Meiri.
Really,
that's
high praise.
Well, where does that
rank?
Your least favorite toast post?
It's a truly fantastic Meiri. I know
what
it's
one. What does your father say about it?
I know it's Meiri Baal Peh.
It's
isn't that great? Do you see it, Ezra? It's unbelievable Meiri, no?
The first one?
Yeah, the Meiri on Kiyushin, Bava Kama Yedzayin. So the you know, this famous debate, Talmud Gadol, Maisa Gadol. When we say Talmud Gadol, Shal Talmud Mevli De Maisa. So that, of course, speaks to this connection between the Talmud and the Maisa aspect, right? Consistent with Abu Jam's point that there's kind of a virtue to not distinguish the two of them. Like, to not treat Talmud as totally separate from Maisa. It works well with my Sefer Agur. The Sefer Agur about the Dine Kinua, the Dine Besakise. So here's how the Miri explains this. What does it mean? What does it mean that God la Talmud Shatalan Mevli Demaisa? So he says, what? What? What do you mean Balpeh? Oh, Shatalan Miyafet. Here, Ned. Shatalan Miyafet Samaisa Mashlimo. Bahamitzah Muderes Yoser Misha Yotzim Pio Dean Yona. Did I get it right? It's great Miri. Well, let's look at it inside now. He's explaining why in why the second Baba Kama talks about how if you're engaged in learning, so you shouldn't be mevatel your learning if it's a mitzvah sheino veres, but if it's a mitzvah veres, you should stop your learning for the mitzvah. So he says, well, why is that? So he says, blah blah blah. Generally, you prioritize lil mode if you could do the mitzvah later. Why? Sha Talmud miyape es hamaisa umashlimo va mitzvah mihuderes yoser kishe yotzeis mipi hayudea enyana. And that's such an awesome idea. What's he saying? It's exactly what he's not saying.
The better the mitzvah will be.
The better the mitzvah will be. In what sense? So you're saying, oh, because if you know that you have to buy a lulav with a non-split spine.
Do you understand the mitzvah? No, I'm saying you're understanding the mitzvah. Not you're understanding the demon of mitzvah.
What do you mean? One's Talmud Torah and one's Kima Mitzvah. You're telling me that my Achilas Matzah is better if I know Matzah?
When you go to the Sugya of Matzah and you know the reasons for Achilas Matzah, your Mitzvah of Matzah is better.
Yeah, that's the claim, right? That's the claim. It's exactly the claim. Right? He's saying that the Kima Mitzvah, it's like a din and hider mitzvah. Like the mitzvah itself is a better kiyam mitzvah when it's supplemented by the knowledge of the mitzvah. Shatalmud miyafe es amaisa umashlimo. Isn't that amazing? No, like the mitzvah is more perfect when it's performed by somebody who understands it. V'hamitzvah muhuderes yoser. It's a din and hider mitzvah. When it's Yotze and Pio De and Yana. Isn't that fabulous? No one's as excited about this Meiri then.
Well,
like Josh, you like
it.
Yeah.
I feel like that's like a, I feel like that's kind of a common thought that people have. Like people think that like learning about a mitzvah is good because when they do the mitzvah they'll be able to like appreciate it more. Yeah, something like
but
that.
But it's the point is that it's a better mitzvah. That's the chiddush.
What does that mean it's a better mitzvah?
What does that mean it's a better mitzvah? I think just like people have the intuition that a nicer esrog is like hit or mitzvah of the esrog.
Right.
So, equally so, if not more so, your knowledge of like what an esrog, I guess what the mitzvah represents or what the basis for the mitzvah, what the dinam are, that is hit or mitzvah of the kiyam mitzvah esrog.
Why can't you share that one in the same?
What?
Why can't you share that one in the same? Having a nicer esrog isn't affecting your nicer mitzvah, but having a nicer esrog is. It helps you appreciate the mitzvah more, and you'll do the mitzvah quote unquote better. Then they're two sides of the same coin, not that they're confused.
No, I think he's talking about he's not talking about like some psychological effect on you. I think he's talking about the ma'isa mitzvah is muhudar. The ma'isa mitzvah is more mushlam.
How does this fit with the last the Miri at the bottom, who says basically that even things in Efshos just said Echerim?
So I'll get that Miri in 1 second. But you see the mahalach. The mahalach here is to say that you can't really have a sharp division between the ma'isa limud and the kiyum hamit and kiyum hamitzvah. The two are designed to go hand in hand, right? So a mitzvah is a better mitzvah when it occasions the proper reflection. Why is the mitzvah better if it's supplemented by the Talmud Torah? Clearly it's built into the notion of the mitzvah that it's supposed to generate that type of cognitive encounter, b'shas ha-mitzvah. Otherwise, it wouldn't be hider mitzvah just simply because the person who's doing the mitzvah knows more about it.
So which one would be better? Would it be better to buy a nicer etzer, or would it be better to learn the
sugya etzer? It's better to learn the sugya etzer. In my opinion. But that's the chiddush. I mean, the Miri is saying that there's a din of hider mitzvah that way. Right?
in the same way, if you learn the halachos of Esro, then you're going to demand to buy an extra Esro.
That, I don't know that. You see that? Maybe the Hefech, once you learn the Sugya of Esro, you'll know that. Yeah. Esro might be a bad example.
So you got to buy not a nicer one. I mean, what is nice?
Yes, but you'll know a better one. But it's not just that, because you're instrumentalized. You're just saying, oh, you'll know how to do the mitzvah better. I think the point here is deeper, is that built into the notion of a mitzvah is that it's supposed to trigger the mind to do certain things, think certain things, appreciate certain things.
What do you think? It's going to be more like mehudr, like natural to Baruch, or for yourself?
The mitzvah is more mehudr.
Is that true for all?
Whatever. What's your intuition about it? When you buy a nice pair of tefillin with nice ksav? What's your intuition? You're not looking at the ksav. They're in your batin.
Yeah.
But don't you think there's a key of hitter mitzvah to buy like nice ksav tefillin? Maybe.
Could, yeah.
So the same thing is true for learning. Like when you put on your tefillin and you know the dinim of tefillin, you know Baruch Kol Amerz Kishem Hashem Nikra Allah, etc.
I think it's just more of like a geschmack for you.
No, that's the whole point. The whole point of the shir in this section is that it's nothing to do with a geschmack for you. That's just vanity.
So what?
The geschmack for you.
I'm not understanding.
Well,
so what is it?
That's just a din in like the serotonin. What is the...
Yeah,
dopamine.
Whatever it is. The serotonin puts you to sleep.
No, that's
melatonin. What does the serotonin do?
Serotonin's like emotional. It's another like happy feel.
Alright, there you go. Yeah, serotonin, dopamine. That's all the geschmack is.
Yeah.
This is saying that the mitzvah itself is a different kiyum. As you want to take a stab at explaining it?
The chifta shel mitzvah is a different chifta shel mitzvah.
I'm not so sure I understand the shitas mirroring with what he says later about.
Stop with the question from what he says later. We'll talk about what he said later in a second. But just the mirroring baba kama, you understand that?
Yeah, I think so. I wouldn't explain any fancy terms. I
wouldn't say that saying a chifta shel mitzvah is a fancy term. Ned, do you want to take a stab at it, or you want to explain? Give us explaining it to Yoni. Josh, go for it.
Well, I just mean maybe not to go all the way, but I mean just saying that the mitzvah isn't just checking the boxes of having done the deed. I mean, part of the mitzvah is the person that's doing the mitzvah. I mean, what's going on in their brain is, you can say, in some sense, like part of the mitzvah. And so, therefore, if you understand more, right, like the same way that like the Tesla can't do the mitzvah, like, I mean, your understanding is something that contributes to the level of fulfillment that's happening on some, not just know the deed because you understand
the expansion of the box.
Yeah, that's a nice way of putting it. Meaning the idea is that the kiyum mitzvah, the telos of mitzvah, it's kind of like a pretty broad, there's an underlying telos of mitzvah that are supposed to, the mitzvahs are supposed to stimulate a certain cognitive experience, cognitive intellectual reflection via the performance of the mitzvahs. And that's done better when the person has a greater understanding of the mitzvahs that he's encountering. So the mitzvahs are better performed net when it's Yotzei Piyodein Yana. Net basically saying, it's like someone who sits in a sukkah not knowing Lamani Yidigar Seichem Kiva Sukkah Soshavti, and someone who sits in a sukkah knowing Kisukkah Soshavti. Right? It's a better Maisa Mitzvah. It's not just that you have a bigger Gishmat from sitting in the sukkah. Net, that's Josh, very good. So does everybody see how that suggests that it's wrong to bifurcate mitzvahs from Talmud Torah in a sharp way? Because the kiyum mitzvahs is supposed to generate some sort of Talmud Torah-esque...
I guess I'm not getting this down. You're not saying it's also... The kiyum mitzvahs is also supposed to generate Talmud Torah, not that Talmud Torah is trying to help better the mitzvahs?
I think the reason why Talmud Torah better is the mitzvahs. Correct, I'm saying the first way. I'm saying one way right now.
Right.
I'm saying you see from this Miri that the mitzvahs are occasions for low-grade Talmud, but not in the instrumentalized sense that Josh is worried about. It's not a hechatimsi to say a shir. I think Ned's paradigm is very good. L'man yidu, contemplate l'man yidu derasech and kibasikos v'shafti. That's true. I like. I think we should be a little more open. Good. We should be broad-minded about what a shear is.
I thought,
I agree. If the shear is just the kind of stuff that Ezra can't tolerate, like what is yichud Hashem, like being mizbonin yichud Hashem, and being mizbonin in Yitzias Mitzrayim, and in the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that are manifested through Yitzias Mitzrayim, then that's good. Well,
is that true?
Yeah, that's the whole point. So that's the point. Is your thing? Is it true or?
Is that true? That it's. Amazing?
No, I think
you
want to
see
something sort of just common.
Isn't that
mitzvah?
I guess meant to produce a cognitive state. Is that true? Well,
I think so. I think that the type of cognitive state they generate may be different, and it could be that there's kind of like a common cognitive state to many of them. So let's say all mitzvahs on the chaver are supposed to be to generate some content. I'm not saying this is true. To generate some content idea of like. Respecting the divine image in somebody else, like that itself might be. I think that's sufficient to be this.
Is it that mitzvah are the ones doing this to Tamatara, or is it that Tamatara is serving as like a mitzvah and answer?
That's what Ezra was just asking.
Yeah,
I think.
I
think the fact that Tamatara is a mitzvah enhancer to me implies that clearly. The mitzvah itself must be connected in some meaningful way to that keem of Talmud Torah.
I think that's a jump that the Miri is, I don't think, is saying.
It doesn't also have to be.
I think it could be. I think it's implied by the Miri, implied in the logical sense that it follows from the Miri.
But it doesn't.
Talmud Torah is just. And he tends to preach better mitzvahs. That's what the Miri is.
No, he's not saying it's just. He's not saying anything. He's just saying.
Just. It is.
What?
It's better to have. Wait, you said mitzvot, right? You're supposed to say
here's the argument to the Miri. Remember what the Miri is. The Miri is saying, why does Talmud override Maisa? Why is it that if it's a mitzvah she'eino veres, we prioritize Talmud Torah over the mitzvah she'eino veres? Right? And his answer is, because, hey, Talmud Torah is a basis for better Maisa. Right? Which means, and therefore it has priority over the Maisa. So that means that there's this Talmud Torah element to the Kiyum HaMitzvos. We can sit on it. We have to end in a minute because we know that
I'm gonna freak out. There's like,
Judah has to register for classes.
Registering has a number cut.
There's like 9 different possibilities of what could happen. There's 2 spots open. Like,
so have the number copy.
I haven't read.
I just don't see how. Like, I get that Talmud Torah is like can lead to better mitzvah, but I don't get how doing the mitzvah necessarily means that it must therefore be entangled with Talmud Torah. Like, why does that follow?
Because how else can if the kiyum. If it turns out that an important element of the Kima Mitzvah is Talmud, does the Miri imply that an important element of the Kima Mitzvah is the Talmud Torah?
Of the Kima Mitzvah?
Yeah.
Yes!
Yeah,
of course. Yeah.
That's like saying, is the aesthetic beauty of an Esro part of the Kima Mitzvah of an Esro?
Of the Kima Mitzvah?
Yes, he says the mitzvah is mehuderes yoser. He says the mitzvah is
content.
Right. So let's unpack the content of the mitzvah, right? So you're saying when you unpack the suitcase of the mitzvah, some Talmud Torah is going to fall out.
Right.
Right? Do you agree to that?
That it can fall out.
What?
That it can fall
it out. Ought to fall out. Yeah, so I take it to mean that part of the purpose of the mitzvos is that the mitzvos are supposed to have this Talmud Torah dimension embedded as a dimension of their performance. Yeah, Talmud miyafes hamaisa umashlimo.
So I was reading more that Talmud Torah attaches itself to the mitzvah as opposed to the
a part of mitzvah itself.
It's like something super added from outside.
Yeah, as opposed to something that is intrinsic to the mitzvah, but then it's, I guess, actively learning.
Right, so we could think about that. I read the Meiri as saying, "Shatalmud miyafes amaiso mashlimo." You know, mashlimo I think means like it completes the maisa. Like the maisa is incomplete with kind of like the dian. Your chakira is like the chakira, to borrow Ned's analogy in the chronim about the Bach. Is it just that you didn't do the mitzvah kitikuna? If you didn't have the Lamani Yidur Sechem Kavanah, or maybe you're not Yotze the Mitzvah at all if you didn't have that Lamani Yidur Sechem Kavanah. And I get it, I'm reading the Meiri saying that, look, one of the central features of these mitzvos is the Talmud Torah aspect of it. And you're saying, maybe the Meiri is just saying that it perfects the Maisa in the sense of perfecting it, something super added to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear where you're coming from, but do you hear where you hear my?
I got that. That's
yeah.
Where my
angle was. Okay, good. Correct.
Yeah.
Ezra, did you get it or?
Yeah.
Okay. So now let's just look for a second at the last Meiri in Moed Katan. So the Gemara here kind of has a tension about Kol Chafatzecha Lo Yishvuba versus the Kol Chafatzim Lo Yishvuba. What exactly is the relationship between Torah and mitzvos? Kind of, is Torah better than mitzvos? Or maybe mitzvos are better than Torah? The Gemara thinks that's an implicit tension between these different psukim, whether chefze shemayim or shavet divrei Torah. And part of the question is, should you be mevatel from a mitzvah to be osek in Torah? So the Meiri here writes, even though generally we say osek b'mitzvos pater min ha-mitzvah, we don't say that for Talmud Torah. We don't say Osek b'Talmud Torah is Pater min ha-mitzvos. Now, isn't that weird? Why? You should think Osek b'Talmud Torah, that's one of the highest mitzvos. Of course, Osek b'Torah should pater from ha-mitzvos. So Meiri says the reason is even for a mitzvah kala, right? The eno mafkia. Chiyuva me'alav b'kiyam mitzvahs Talmud Torah afilu mitzvah kala. Talmud Torah can't exempt you even from a mitzvah kala. Why is that? And even though osek b'mitzvah generally paters you, lo nomar kein b'Talmud Torah, the rule doesn't apply to Talmud Torah. Hoil v'ikra li'adiyas kiyam shar mitzvos. What's the claim? Yeah, or an important dimension of Talmud Torah is to facilitate a life that's living in compliance with, in deference to the command of the mitzvos. So it would be internally inconsistent, that's one way of reading this, to allow Talmud Torah to exempt you from the performance of mitzvos. Can we see that? So what you can see here, again, from the other direction, is the idea that the mitzvos seem to play an important role in Talmud Torah. You can't isolate Talmud Torah from the way it's supposed to service or facilitate a life in compliance with the prescriptions of the Torah. And so it would be somehow inconsistent or self-defeating to give you an osek b'talmud Torah pater min ha-mitzvos. Yeah, something like that. So the idea here is that you could see again this kind of important connection between the Talmud Torah and the kiyum ha-mitzvos aspect of things. Yeah? So to conclude, I think that's the best way to understand this hefsek in Talmud Torah question. That really, and this gets back to Mikey's point right at the beginning of Shir, maybe like the Ugger saying, the reason why, I'm just going to formulate it this way, the reason why Birchas HaTorah is structured not as a bracha on a Maisa Mitzvah, which then depends if you're mafsik and then you have to remake it the next time you do the Maisa Mitzvah, is because the birch that you make in the morning is really supposed to be a bracha not just on the Maisa Limud, but on the limud and the kiyum hamitzvos throughout the day. So that's why the bracha is really structured on the yom. And it's not limited to the Talmud Torah in the narrow sense. It's a bracha on the Talmud that's maybe Lidei Maisa, the mitzvos that have this element of Torah in them. And so Kol Zman, that the person's day is framed by the prescriptions of the Torah, even if they're not engaged in some sort of Maisa Limud, there's no hefsek in the Birchas HaTorah. That's the main mahalach. But now just to bring that full circle to the nature of Kriya Shema, just appreciate that we saw in the beginning of the year that Kriya Shema has this aspect of Talmud Torah in it. That was one of the sugyas that we covered, right? Shinun in Kriya Shema. But one of the major themes also of Kriya Shema is Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. V'hayim Shemoah. So it's actually very nice that maybe Kriya Shema, which is the Ibai Pater Nafshe Kriya Shema Shachris V'Arvis, the V'Hagisav Yom V'Layla, is actually framed not just by like a pure abstract cognitive act of Talmud Torah, but one that is linked up by necessity with Kabbalah Sol Mitzvos. And that would explain this major idea, number one, of why there's no hefsek in Talmud Torah, even when you go to the Beis Hakiseh, so long as there's compliance with mitzvos, dinim that apply, as the Sefer Agur. It would mean there's no hefsek in your Brichas Talmud Torah, in your Brichas Torah, so long as you're engaged in dinim throughout the course of the day. It doesn't have to be Torah, Talmud Torah narrowly construed. And it also explains very nicely, at least this day in the Rishonim, why the Nusach HaBracha of the Brichas Torah, L'chatchila, should be one that includes dinim and mitzvos, not just the cerebral act of Maisa Lima. Everybody see that? Good mahalach to end the year off. Alright, shkoyach everybody. Wishing you all a good summer, a good life to the people. No, I'm just kidding. Good summer. And we could internalize this message about a life that's not just Talmud Torah. The one that's, you got the Talmud Torah and the Hiddur Mitzvah. And when you combine those two elements, the Limud with the compliance with the Dinim, that's when you have the right form of Lasak with the Rei Torah. Shkoyach, guys.